Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service, at ease. Eris Broaddus in his LSU gear. You have Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitz. You ready to go 5 hours flawless. Woolchuck and Schiafalo are here. And you have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And welcome in. You know, it's a big sports night. You do have Thursday night football. You have Cowboys practicing. And you have the Mavs in action against the Houston Rockets here. So we'll talk about all that and more. I really feel just great, you know. It's probably from all the Yankee tears I've been drinking.
Oh, what a classic.
Nice and hydrated, huh?
Wow.
You're going to lose. Might as well make history, right?
Five-run lead. They begin to choke. Then they totally choke. And then they go back up. Boom. Sack flies in the eighth pair of them. After, you know, they thought again they'd probably won it. and there it is, you know. So the Yankees have one of the worst losses in franchise history. And yes, maybe I'm using that as copium, trying to deal with the reality that the Rangers are no longer champs. Mm-hmm. Can no longer say we're on the home of the champs, and that does hurt. But yeah, it is amazing, you know, especially if you're really locked into baseball. You know, a lot of our fans around that age where the Yankee dynasty in the late 90s and early 2000s, it felt inevitable. It felt unfair, you know, and they'd come up with every single big hit and big play to get the job done. So when they're, you know, starting to make the comeback last night, I'm like, no, don't tell me. No, we're not going to do this. You know, now at 3-2, you definitely have a series. Rangers yeah. fans know that all too well. Yeah. But, yeah, wheels came off again in a fashion that's just hilarious, Woolchuck.
It's like Aaron Judge doesn't have an error all year. Boom, here you go. Just go ahead and drop a gimme. Obviously, we talked about, you know, I don't know how in the world you don't get over to first base. If you're Gerrit Cole, I think he said he misjudged it. As he tried to field it and then wasn't able to get over. The whole thing just lined up to perfection for just Yankee failure and follies. I mean, you've just got infield blunders that are going on. Gerrit Cole had a chance, bases loaded, to get out of the inning. And then you've got Freddie Freeman leading off the next inning. And it could have been something that was magical for the Yankees. Instead, it's baseball follies. And it was beautiful to watch. And the Dodgers, I think, clearly were the better team. It was also pretty cool to see Walker Buehler get out there and be able to close that thing out. All the struggles that he's gone through, wasn't sure if he'd even be playing in the postseason for the Dodgers. And he's able to go and close that out. He was basically unhittable this series. So, hey, good for Shohei Ohtani. Freddie Freeman, I think, is one of the best people in all of sports. Great for him to get the MVP. But yeah, it is fun seeing the Yankees. I mean, I get it because people probably hate watching the Yankees like we are, but they do it to the Cowboys. Like, I mean, you got Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers. Those are kind of the premier. You either love them or you hate them. But we're on the hating side of the Yankees. And the Dodgers, can't say I really love them either. But Rangers, we just got to hope we're back there in 2025. Because, gosh, I missed it. Watching this postseason, it was just like FOMO.
I mean, the Dodgers didn't sweep you three consecutive years in the late 90s. You know, there's so much more history there. It is a Halloween Thursday here in the G-Bag Nation. Salute to you. Crack them if you got them. Hopefully you're getting to head home and live it up. I know this is a huge night in the Chiafalo household with so many little kids preparing to trick-or-treat. I can't imagine the festivities that are to be had over there. My three-year-old, one of the cutest Snow Whites you've ever seen.
Ooh,
I can confirm that.
That's adorable.
Maybe I'll post it.
Yeah, I think they're all going with the Jasmine costume.
Jasmine from Aladdin.
So they're all going to be
they're
the same
all Jasmine.
Character.
That is so precious.
So that'll be great. I'm excited about it. They're fired up for it. And this is going to be one of the first, because now my oldest is 4.5.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, this is
she's ready
this
for
is
it.
Really like the first, like super excited, understanding what's going down, and we're about to tear it up.
So do you coach him up before, the first time going out there trick-or-treating?
Yeah, a little bit. They're going to have a lot of apprehension, and a little bit of nerves. So you just go with them, and tell them what to do and what to say, and you coach them through it a couple of times, and then they realize they're getting candy. It kind of, gets going, and then they're anticipating it, and she's literally been talking about going trick-or-treating. Like, we'll do fake trick-or-treating in the house because it's a game to her, nice. Where she gets candy. So
She's already been putting that work in.
Yeah, she's a little bit ahead of the curve, I think, when it comes to appreciating the candy holiday.
Hayes in the barn.
She has definitely got my sweet tooth, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, wow. Hey.
I'm a little bit worried about this one. Okay,
Brian, like Metamucil fiber things, huh?
No, it's in your future.
Yeah. Brian's going to preview the Falcons defense for us coming up at 3:40.
Got some chances here.
Nice.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah.
It's better than yesterday.
Yep. Got some chances.
Let me ask you this. I don't want you to give anything away, but could you see yourself picking Cowboys based on what you saw with that Falcons defense?
I've given it some thought that I probably could.
Okay.
I probably could.
In a completely different world.
I mean, they almost beat the Niners.
Hell yeah.
This isn't that bad, guys.
Almost we're talking about the Cowboys, right? You can see other teams beating the Falcons.
I mean, there's a world we can say they're almost one of the best teams in football. They almost beat the Ravens and Niners. Come on.
There's no way in hell, though, the last couple of weeks that you would say the Cowboys were going to win. They just weren't going to do that. But this one, I would give them a puncher's chance.
All right.
Yes.
You get this one. You get Micah Parsons back. You start to resemble that team that beat the 6-2 Steelers less than a month ago.
Micah.
No, Mike. Yeah, it doesn't seem like Mike is playing this
game. It's a sprained ankle. Maybe 5 weeks at most, but eventually he'll be back.
High ankle sprains are just a pain.
I just worry about him and Bland right now. It just doesn't sound real favorable.
Okay.
Well, the Bland thing's concerning me.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like he was going to play and then against Detroit. And then something happened, and it's gone downhill.
Soreness,
from there.
Just soreness.
Yeah,
was he back on the cords again today? At least.
Well, they're going to try and get him more involved in practice today, from what I heard. So we'll get the injury report here as we get going. But it's something, it's just taking a lot more time than they were thinking it was, but they want to make sure the guy's right.
What do you guys think of the season Dak Prescott is having, and how important is that in your overall evaluation of who he is? I kind of just see it as a reflection of his surroundings, but maybe it's a deterioration of his skills. Maybe there was an off-season injury that caused him to be in that boot. I don't think Dak has gotten significantly worse. Mike McCarthy was asked about it today at his press conference, like just his evaluation. He says, this system's built on making the quarterback successful. That's the way I learned it 30-plus years ago. Okay, so.
Yikes. That, I mean, just well, that alone 30 years ago. Right there, dude.
Yeah, that one hurts. Says, but.
Yeah, it does.
That hurts bad.
We could stop right there. So, no, like. Dak is just not in a position to succeed.
I guess 30 years ago you could succeed with the worst run offense in football, because that's what you have right now.
Yeah, I don't think you're succeeding in any era with what the Cowboys are throwing out there. He goes on to talk about, he says, the starting point of making a quarterback successful is running the football. We can start there. We need to get more production out of the run game, increase the action pass opportunities. From that, take it to the next step, pass protection, the pass perimeter. Yeah. It's about making him successful. If anything, I would guard against asking him to feel like he has to do more than he's already doing. He just needs to focus in on playing QB. He's a great worker. He's super diligent, and we'll get to where we need to get to. I think he's saying it's the surroundings. Well, he's definitely saying it's what's around Dak that's limiting him. He doesn't want him to try to do more because, when he does that, I think the chances of a turnover just go through the roof. Cool. And I don't know how you mitigate some of that, but there's no doubt that you know, relying on a system that was relevant 30 years ago in a copycat league where trends are, you know, going in different directions. We definitely like a guy that's more adaptable, Brian.
I just wonder what's happened with Dak Prescott when it comes to, and the more film I watch, and then now with the way I'm learning about reading metrics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Why does a guy go from a 66% passer against man coverage to a 47% man passer against man coverage? Why is that? Why is that almost a 20% drop off?
Tyron Smith was really good in pass protection last year.
But I'm just talking about a guy throwing the ball against man coverage.
Yeah,
I think that's on your 30-year-old offense.
Yeah,
I think when you start to really melt this thing down, you're thinking, well, Dak, yeah, not very good right now. But you can't tell me that there's almost a 20% drop off in his ability to throw the ball against man coverage. We've seen the tight window stuff. We've seen the 49ers are just as bad as you in the tight window throws and their quarterback. They seem to be moving the football okay. But the thing that you wonder, I'm looking at this quarterback and I'm like, how has it become that he has a 20% worse completion percentage against man coverage? Why would that not trigger something in your brain that we need to do something to help him deal with this man? Because last year there was something obviously that was right, you know, throwing against man coverage. You pretty much had that thing wired. Right now you don't. Is that the quarterback? Is that the scheme? Is that, you know, and yeah.
Isn't it personnel? Like Tyron Smith was good. Zach Martin's a lot worse this year.
Absolutely.
Michael Gallup and Brandon Cooks at least knew the offense and would run more precise routes than Tolbert and Turpin are.
Well, I'll say this. I saw this from RJ Ochoa yesterday. But talking about this tight window throw stuff, Dak on tight window throws when targeting Jalen Tolbert this year is 7 of 12, 127 yards and a touchdown.
Nobody plays better against off coverage than Jalen Tolbert. He's got 17 receptions in off coverage.
That's interesting.
He's your top receiver when they play off. Everybody else is struggling.
Yeah, the numbers are showing like Tolbert hasn't been bad. Dak on tight window throws when targeting everyone else is 11 of 47. With two picks.
And why so many tight window throws?
But that's scheme related.
I'm just saying,
not good route running.
It could be player related. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's definitely a factor.
You've got one legit wide receiver.
You
can't put your finger on one thing.
Well, that's why I'm asking, how much do you think Dak has fallen off? You know,
obviously
he's fallen off because
they throw the ball against man coverage. He completes 50% of his passes.
But he's the same guy, you know?
Is he?
I think so.
Is he physically?
I don't think he's deteriorated enough. He might be 5 or 10% less, but that doesn't explain, you know, how your offense went from number one to really, really bad. And I don't think Mike McCarthy's offense is totally broken. It's just not optimized. It can go out and be top five in the NFL if you protect, run the ball, and have weapons. You know, what we're seeing is you know, things that have in very, very recent history had tremendous success in the NFL with Dak and Mike McCarthy. The biggest difference is your offensive line became pathetic and your weapons fell off in a massive way.
You also saw 5 weeks of bad offensive football last year, and then they changed the offense. Yeah. And now it became a different offense. And then Dak became the best version of himself. And then by the end of the season, that new offense, now defenses knew what you wanted to do. And there was no counterpunch. And now they've just reverted back to the original McCarthy offense of the first 5 weeks from last year when they were stale and they were throwing inches at a time and they were useless across the board, couldn't score 20 points. And that's now back to the same McCarthy offense. It was like they switched things around last year, and for 8 weeks or whatever, it was awesome. And then you started getting into Buffalo and respectable defenses, and it's like you got a lot on tape now. We know exactly what you want to do, and there was no counterpunch after that for McCarthy because it wasn't really his offense.
So you think this personnel could go out and score 30?
No, I'm not saying that. The personnel is definitely a factor here, a very fair factor. But I also see, like, we see how much coaching matters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is he helping that poor personnel?
No, not at all.
No, he's not helping them.
That's what I'm asking.
He's definitely not helping them.
If you're not very good at something, why don't you figure out some... Remember, we had Stink on the other day talking about the running game. Find something you can hang your hat on. Find a play you can run all the time and get positive yards for. Dallas doesn't have that. They don't have plays that they could say. McCarthy's got that menu that we give him all that grief about. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're thinking, bro, just find me five plays on there that work.
You know? So you think he's making excuses here?
I think he is. Yeah, I do.
Well, he definitely doesn't want to acknowledge that his offense is the problem. He will never want to. It's worked for three decades. Yeah, right. Yeah, because 30 years ago, it was awesome.
Why would we need to adjust for anything when defenses have adjusted and players are bigger, faster, stronger now? You know, but there's always some excuse, whether it's the officiating or I'm playing with backup offensive linemen or, oh, Joey Bosa is killing us, Nick Bosa is killing us. Oh, we practiced poorly. We practiced well. We didn't practice hard enough. There's always something. It's never, maybe I need to change something up here.
Your personnel isn't so bad that you should be down by double digits at halftime in basically every game that was at home this season. Your personnel isn't so bad that you should only be scoring 9 points versus the Lions. Your personnel isn't so bad that you can only get to 19 versus the Saints. Like, your offense is a huge problem. The way the scheme and the concepts and the design of everything. It's obvious you're watching two different sports when you watch a San Francisco offense and then your offense. It's completely different.
Everything is difficult.
And that's the thing that I feel worst about for Dak over the years is he's never had a stud. Because as much as the Cowboys struggle with identifying a quarterback or whatever, and it's like you get lucky with Dak, you get lucky with Romo, they also struggle with finding the coach. Bill, like you're just going a decade with Jason Garrett, dude. He was playing 30 years ago football too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's going to be tough to find a coach that's actually a good coach based on the structure of this organization as well.
Agreed.
If I've got to worry about the owner or whoever it is saying, hey, middling with whatever the personnel is, that's going to be difficult. If I'm a coach that believes in myself and my ability, what'd you hire me for? To coach the damn team, right? Don't tell me who I need to play at receiver or running back or corner, whoever it is. That's going to run people off. So now it's who's comfortable, who do we know, who do we have a good relationship with? You're stuck with Jason Garrett for a decade, right? You bring in a Mike McCarthy who wants a job but is comfortable. I mean, you've said how many times, I don't think Mike cares if he gets fired. Yeah. That's the type of guy you're going to end up with. Yeah. Not a dude like a Ben Johnson or one of these young up-and-comers who are really wanting to make a name for themselves and believe in what you're doing. No, because you don't want that guy to get the credit for when you win. The credit still has to go back to Jerry.
Well said, Wolchuk. We're off and running here in the G-Bag Nation on a Thirsty Thursday. Mavs host the Rockets tonight. Houston at 2-2, dangerous ball club, very well coached. Sengun, Van Vliet, Jalen Green. It's a Dylan Brooks Luka night. Okay, if you're wondering where Dylan Brooks was, and there should be some cool stuff at TV
Houston
first and
playing
whatnot.
Well, on defense too,
with the presentation.
That's Udoka's thing.
Yeah, this will be a good matchup.
All righty, G-Bag Nation off and running here. Bill Barnwell, should the Cowboys add or subtract the deadline? We'll give you what one of the top insiders has to say about that topic. It's coming up next here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Three the fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 9 minutes. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Go to frankaffirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today. carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H.
All right, Barnwell of ESPN has come out with which team should add or subtract at the deadline here, 877-881-1053. Where do you want the Cowboys to be on this? I did see, and I saw it yesterday, but we were at a Whataburger, which is outstanding, and we love you dearly, and I would much rather go to Whataburger than this other place. But I do admire this other place as well, and this is good news. McDonald's, one of the biggest issues, the ice cream machine's always broken.
Yeah.
Always cleaning it.
Always, right?
Always cleaning that thing.
Well, a big problem was only the manufacturer could fix those McDonald's ice cream machines, and that would always take forever to get those things repaired. Well, now, legally, McDonald's can fix their own ice cream machine. Taylor will allow them to fix it. They don't have to have somebody out to from the manufacturer to do it. So hopefully this creates, if you want your delicious McFlurry, you'll be able to get it more often than not.
Okay. Wow. So it's not like they've improved the machines. They've just made it a little bit easier
to repair.
To repair.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. All right. Here's Barnwell.
Car before you walk.
That's Absolutely. A big win.
We're getting there. It is a win. It is a win.
Now, if we could just get some cinnamon rolls over there, you know, wouldn't mind that.
Oh, the cinnamon roll. You were a big fan of that yesterday.
Cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
McCinnamon.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
So he's got all the teams on here, and when it comes to the Cowboys, they got big questions, writes Barnwell.
Huge.
Huge questions. The positive side, well, is there one? Defense is a disaster. Now, they have been out several starters, Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Deron Bland. Dallas ranks 30th in EPA allowed per play, 29th in QBR allowed, 29th in success rate against the run. And even without, say, a Micah and a DeMarcus Lawrence, the unit was not very good before they even got injured. Could the defense turn things around in the second half? I don't know. What do you think? Getting Micah Parsons back will help. A unit that thrived in creating takeaways under DQ the past few seasons has forced only 5 turnovers in 7 games, which should improve in the second half. Do we think it will? Coordinator Mike Zimmer's D has recovered one of the 6, has recovered only 1 of the 6 fumbles that have hit the ground on defense, which is more bad luck than anything else. So there's room for more turnovers out there if you believe that that's possible. The schedule gets a little easier from here on out after a trip to Atlanta. 4 of the next 5 are at home. If the defense doesn't improve, they might not want to face the fans for the Cowboys, though, writes Barnwell. And he says the verdict, Cowboys should subtract at the deadline, but likely will add. Do you agree with that?
I don't think they'll be adding, but I do agree that they should be subtracting. I think if you're going to be getting involved in trade conversations and you're the Cowboys right now, I think you should be doing more subtracting or thinking of big time future, big picture acquisitions for your team now. Like you guys laid out some pretty good stuff yesterday at Whataburger. It's like, yeah, you know what? If you can come up with something to where you're not sacrificing a bunch of stuff and it's not a win now move necessarily, obviously maybe it does immediately upgrade something for you, but also it's a 2-3 year kind of picture, then I'm open to it. But for the most part, this is a seller's team easy.
Yeah, it should be sellers, should be subtract, taking pieces that don't have a long future here and moving them for draft picks. They won't add. I just don't think a perfect enough trade is going to fall in their lap to make them buyers here at the deadline. But, really, I just hope that this team can become good enough in the second half. I hope it's there. I'm trying not to be silly, but you get Tank and Micah back. And, again, they did beat the Steelers. They were close against the Niners and Ravens. That's what we need, is for this team to figure out a way in a weaker schedule to play above 500 football. If they can't, Wolchuk, what it's going to say about how far this team is away from contending, it might be multi-years. We might go into an indefinite period where we can't foresee a division title in the future. The picture's just too cloudy. So, I hope that they stand pat with what they got, and the return of Micah and Tank can reignite that takeaway defense once you get Bland and Diggs healthy on the field at the same time.
You guys have seen them play 7 games, right?
Yeah.
If you're a team who would you trade for? Who on your team has some value that you can get picks for? I mean, and I, again, if you're interested,
like, who would you like to trade away from the team?
Not who I like. Who,
like, would a team be interested
be a
in?
Pro personnel director for another team? Mm. You've seen this team play for 8 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a player, and I, if you're interested in sixth and seventh round picks, then we can move on to the next question.
Yeah. Maybe Steele, Zach Martin.
You trade, I believe, if
Micah Trayvon.
Yeah, I like what you did. I think if you trade Zach Martin, he would retire. I think he's kind of in that mode. I think that's what you have to think. But I like what
no
you're
need
saying.
To trade him. Probably wouldn't get that much anyway.
Okay, but I like what you're trying to do. Who were the other names you gave me?
Steele, Micah, Trayvon.
Steele, Micah, Trayvon. How about you, Chief?
Yeah, I love all those names. Those all make sense to me. Kendricks, if he wants to.
I mean, honestly, he's been really good, and I don't know that the Cowboys would want to lose him, but he's been their best corner, Jordan Lewis. The team would probably want Jordan Lewis.
You know, if you look at the metrics on Jordan Lewis,
good call.
I like, and as you know, I'm into all this stuff. Your team is better with him on the field in the nickel, coverage-wise. Mm. I mean, he's one of the top nickel players in the National Football
League. He's been awesome this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be in a hurry to give him up unless somebody was going to give you a really nice draft pick. And I just don't think he's
in his last year.
Deal.
He's in his last year.
Yeah, I want to bring him back.
Yeah. I like what you did because I'm not interested in fifth and sixth round picks. You know, if we're going to sell players, let's sell players.
Right. Twos, and threes.
Let's not sit there and act like, oh, well, we're going to give up Deuce Vaughn and get a conditional seventh and it's going to, you know. If we're going to do this, let's really do this.
And if you're going to have Dak, you owe it really to get a good line for him. You need at least one premium pick to go to a wide receiver. You're going to need another lineman, and you need a running back, you know. So, and that's going to be tough to build out. You know, you can't just snap your fingers. Oftentimes, remaking an offensive line is a multi-year process, and you got to speed that up. I'd be looking primarily to take Terrence Steele, who's underperforming for the salary, and then defensive pieces, you know, that can buy me more draft picks and make sure we got a badass offense, at least for our veteran quarterback who's becoming less mobile by the year.
I just wonder if somebody on the pro personnel department would look at Terrence Steele and see an advantage there.
I just don't think there's enough good offensive linemen in football. You're not going to end up getting probably a day one or two pick.
Yeah.
Which,
but you're getting his contract off your books.
You're getting the contract off, and you've kind of got a position
in
place.
If we trade him, we're going to have to eat some dead money, right?
Yeah.
Probably a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to be – he will be right there near the top of the list of like a post-June 1 kind of
I think you save off-season. Quite a bit of money if you post-June 1 him, actually.
As opposed to trade him, which one would you save the most money doing?
That's a good question.
I think money-wise, you'd probably save the most by doing the post June 1 because it splits it up a little bit or something. But you're also not getting any draft picks for him.
Yeah, I think you want guys who are great in pass pro and the run game. And at one point, he was good at one of them, and now I don't even know what he's good for. So if a team is desperate enough to think they're a Terrence Steele away, I'd definitely be looking to move on. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the Day.
Gotta get comfortable. Gotta get comfortable up in here, you know what I'm saying? We got these new seats and whatnot.
Oh, you got a new chair over there?
They're the same ones you guys have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I still haven't got used to them. Feels like I'm sitting at a slant.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yep.
All right. Let's see here.
Playing downhill.
Yeah. It kind of feels like that. Whoosh.
Get you that Dodger hat on today.
The Trolley Dodgers. That's right. They won the pennant, folks.
The Trolley Dodgers.
Trolley Dodgers. All right, let's go to KMC Masterpiece, where Stephen Jones was asked about D's nuts.
Are you familiar with the incident between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie yesterday? And if so, can you give us any feedback about that?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay, so Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie while he's still in his pads about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." Mike Leslie responds, "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything to say because I don't know about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much for your time, man. We will get back with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Go get Cowboys.
How could you be the de facto GM of a team and not know that one of the greatest D's nuts in sports history just happened outside your locker room?
Yeah, seriously, are you under a rock over there, dude?
D's nuts. That's wild stuff. I wish I'd go here. Speaking of D's. No, wait a minute. Yeah, speaking of D's nuts, there's a UFC fight this weekend. Wolchuk, Derek Lewis will be fighting, right?
Oh, yes, my balls are hot.
Yes, they are. Yeah, yeah.
Confirmed.
So you already know what to expect from this guy. The beast, Derek Lewis. He's not a big fan of Poutang or something like that. They got a fight in Canada.
Oh, poutine.
Oh, yeah. Poutine. Is that the gravy and the fries?
Something else. It's poutine.
Poutine?
It's poutine.
What are your thoughts on poutine? Do you like gravy on your fries, or is that too much for you?
The what?
A poutine. Have you ever had that before?
No. What is it? Poutine.
Poutine.
Poutine. I heard poutine, but I never heard no poutine.
You've had plenty of that, right?
Yeah. That's the... Yeah. Got back taste in my mouth now. I ain't seen my wife in 2 weeks.
Wow.
It's fries with cheese and gravy on it.
No, I don't know. That's
amazing. Wow.
My man said, I ain't seen my old lady in 2 weeks, bro. Smelling my breath now. Yeah. I ain't washed up since.
How can you say no to that? That sounds delightful. I'd never heard of it either, but...
Canadian delicacy.
French fries and gravy?
Brown gravy, yeah, and cheese.
Oh, brown
cheese
gravy?
Curds. Yeah, cheese curds.
Give me a milk gravy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
they moved my border around over here, so I'm still trying to get used to it. Feels so uncomfortable. They're fixing it, though. We'll be back in a minute.
We saw the gators lurking earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you call that man? That's not right.
His name is Chris.
No, he was.
He is somebody.
No, he was Steve Irwin in the situation.
Yeah. Oh.
He was coming to get the. He was coming to settle things down in there.
Oh, crummy name, mate. She got me.
I'd be dying.
Oh.
That was Sting.
It's a Thirsty Thursday. Let's go to Arizona Cardinals fan. He's drunk. He goes full thirst mode when running into Kyler Murray. Full thirst mode. My God, sir.
Yo, Kyler, I love you.
Do you love me, bro? Love you, bro.
You love me?
I love you.
Love me, too.
Can I kiss you?
No. Yeah, you're tripping. You're tripping.
Yeah. Nah,
is it E-M-A? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
what happened?
I got you. Here, take it, bro.
Oh, man, Kyler, how much your watch cost?
You have a great night, bro.
Awesome. Bro. Love you.
Wow. Emmanuel's drunk.
Emmanuel, drunk. Baracho.
Can I kiss you? I like the random, how much does your watch cost?
Delicate question, sir.
I don't care about the team struggling. I want to kiss you.
Exactly.
She said, Joe. He said, oh! I want to kiss you. You are so pretty. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. All around good man right there. And Reverend Ike. Yes, I have dualities. One side of me is good and the other side is greed. Reverend Ike, shout out to you, sir. This bishop right here stopped the sermon. Stopped someone's whole sermon. Jumped on the sound man and had an announcement for all the people in the crowd there.
You can't manage it. Give it to him. You can't fix it. Give it to him.
You're going to have to pick back up, put some gain in these monitors.
Oh.
Y'all know what gain is?
Mm.
That's not volume, gain.
It's condescending.
We're paying, thank you, we're paying too much to not hear ourselves up here.
Oh.
What you hear back there is not what we're hearing up here. Two, I'm being a good bishop. If your car is parked in the roundabout, it's about to get towed.
Damn.
if you took privilege to park your car in a place where it is not a parking space, come out of the Holy Ghost for a minute. The Holy Ghost is an intelligent person. You jumping, shouting, and then say your car got stole. The police are being nice. They said, Bishop, can you announce it before we move it? Don't wait out of embarrassment. Just walk out and move your car. Look at your neighbor and tell them, save your car. Now, whatever you need.
Get right back to it. He got right back to it, bro.
I was like, he's going to leave church right. Early a little bit. Huh?
He got right back to it.
Yeah, that's my invitation to head home, watch some football.
Yeah, I can get out of here now.
I'll drop you a 20 in the bucket on my way out. All righty. Is it our champ, Steven, on KMC? Is it the UFC fighter, Derek Lewis, not interested in the poutine? Is anxious to see his wife.
Depending on where you're going with that.
What'd you say?
We have a Cardinals fan who ran to Kyler Murray. Madcap. Or is it your church day blessings? Okay. I'll vote for the champ today, Chief. How about you?
Samsies.
Lucius.
I'm riding with the beast. I've never felt so much seen in my life. Oh, yeah, shout out to Tolo K. Lou, man. Sent that bishop to me. K. Lou, man. I never felt so seen in my life, too. You know exactly what I like to see, bro. I appreciate that.
Salute. Well, Chuck.
Champ.
Brian.
Derek Lewis.
By a score of 3-2. And still, your G Bag of the Day champion, Stephen Jones.
It's a ladies' night.
KMC Masterpiece. That's right. Oh, what a night. Here we go. College football super seg, Woolchuck. What's in store?
We got some audio featuring Mike Elko, Will Howard, and helmet stealing. That's next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. NFL news today is coming up at 3 o'clock. We have a C-note at 3:20. Right now, it's college football time, and here's Woolchuck.
All right, the big one just up the road. We got SMU and Pitt going down on Saturday night. Big time ACC matchup there at Gerald J. Ford Stadium. It looks like SMU quarterback Kevin Jennings, of course, local product. You're confident he's going to play against Pitt. He said, quote, I should be fine after he had a leg injury in the fourth quarter of their overtime win at Duke. So he said, just beat up, but that's part of the game. Got to push through it. And I should be able to be out there and play. So hopefully, Kevin Jennings is available for the Ponies as they look to improve to 8-1 and give Pitt their first loss of the season. Now, Pitt on the other side also dealing with a quarterback injury, but Eli Holstein is medically cleared. He's expected to start against SMU after he was injured in the fourth quarter of their win over Syracuse. A defender landed on him while he was running towards the sideline. He's ready to go. Got cleared, so that's excellent news for him moving forward. So both starting quarterbacks should be in line to play in that top 20 matchup there in Dallas. Now, Indiana, their quarterback, he's on track to play as well against Michigan State. So Curtis Rourke, who missed last week, this is probably the story of the season, is the Indiana Hoosiers. So that's good to get him back. The throwing hand, he injured the thumb on his throwing hand. He had to have surgery shortly after, but he's ready to go here for the game against Michigan State. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, quite the turnaround, huh?
It really is.
He must have been doing the on the Russell Wilson finger recovery plan.
24/7, 365.
25/7. 25 hours a day Russ was working on that finger.
There's no rest. No rest at all. Now, Will Howard is getting ready to take on Penn State. This is, of course, the game of the weekend. Maybe the other one, Pitt and SMU. But top five matchup, we've got Ohio State and Penn State. It's going to be an 11 a.m. kick here locally. Will Howard ready.
It should be a night game, dude.
To beat the Nittany Lions. We'll get to that in just a second here. But here's Will, stoked to play Penn State.
I'm stoked. I cannot wait. It's going to be a homecoming for me. I grew up a Penn State fan. I wanted to go there my whole life. They didn't think I was good enough. But I guess we'll see next week if I was.
Oof. Adding some motivation there. Wanted to go to Penn State. They said, no, thank you. We're good. If you remember, he ended up at Kansas State.
Yes,
now
he did.
He's transferred over to Ohio State. They're 6-1.
Maybe he'll end up
season.
At Penn State still. You never know.
It could be after Drew Aller. Now, Drew Aller's going to be a game-time decision for this one, but I think all indications are Drew Aller is going to play for Penn State and Ohio State. you mentioned, like, this should be a night game, and I agree with you 100%. In fact, James Franklin did speak to the media as well, and he's sarcastic in his reply here, but how does he feel about the 11 a.m. start?
There's nothing better than a noon game in Happy Valley against Ohio State. This place will be rocking. I've seen it all over social media. Our fans could not be more excited. Our alumni, our Letterman, Jason Kabinda, we were just talking about that. Marcus, we were just talking about nothing better than a noon game in Happy Valley.
Is it still a whiteout, or that it's only nighttime when they do the whiteout?
I think
deal.
They just
Can
do
you still
the,
keep those same type of vibes? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know the Penn State traditions like that. I'm sure somebody on the text 877-881-1053. Can you do the daytime whiteout? But it's not the same.
No,
and this
it's
should
not.
Be this should be a primetime affair. But he's you know, this is a big noon kickoff issue. We've come across this many times in the past with some of these big matchups, and big games belong under the lights. It's the criticism for a lot of these fans at Penn State. They're upset about it. So Franklin, a little sarcastic there, but it's what time the game is.
Do you think it has something to do with Fox carrying? They also carry Big 12 football, right?
Fox, yeah,
they do now.
They carry Big 12 football, and what happens? You got all those Big 12 teams now that are West Coast teams.
Yeah, I mean,
so now you can't really schedule Penn State, Ohio State, or doesn't NBC have also a Big Ten game that they're dealing with?
They NBC, CBS does now. CBS has some Big Ten action, but I think it's really just because they picked that game to be their big noon kickoff.
Why do I Todd Blackledge and somebody else doing Big Ten football at night on NBC at night? I wonder why that didn't get picked up that way.
Yeah, I mean, Fox,
am I wrong about that?
I thought the NBC stuff was like the Notre Dame stuff. I thought,
no, I think please no, they, chime in. Chime in if you know. But I kind of felt like I was flipping around and watching. I watched Minnesota and USC play a night game in Minnesota.
Yep.
I thought it was,
and it was
NBC.
On NBC.
It was.
But this is just because Fox has claimed this game, and their premiere for their big noon kickoff is that early kick.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Why all of a sudden? I think it has something to do with TV here.
Yeah, it's Fox.
Yeah,
it's exactly right. But it's a bummer. I mean, I wish that they would feature their deal as a primetime thing, like ESPN does their game day thing, and then they still have that primetime game at night.
The ESPN, the smartest thing that they've done, they bought the SEC. They now have their Saturday nights, or they have Saturday. They have an 11 a.m. game. They have a 2:30 game, and they have a 6:30 game. And they got the SEC. They got all those games locked up.
Yeah.
So they can run them all day. Yeah.
They sure do. I mean, there's definitely not a time without football during college football Saturday, which is fantastic now. But that one, we'll get it bright and early, and then we'll be able to enjoy the rest of our day and look forward to Pitt and SMU later on. Now, the Aggies are, we talked about this yesterday. This is going to be an interesting one against South Carolina, maybe a trap game. But Mike Elko seems like the real deal. Here is his pregame speech ahead of their big win last week that's gone viral. And it seems like A&M's finally got themselves a legit coach.
11 months ago, we sat in a room together, and we talked about this moment. That when you get into this moment, you can't just want it. You've got to pay a price to earn it. You've got to pay a price to get on this stage. When you walk down the tunnel, think about everything you've done to prepare for this moment. They have not done what you have done. They are not ready to take this thing where you're willing to take it. Your togetherness is better. Your effort is better. Your culture is better. Go put it on display for 3.5 hours and go get it.
Except you, Wegman.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to sit your ass. Marcel, be ready to rock.
Yeah.
But A&M's loving this guy, and he was with them previously. Of course, did great things with Duke.
Oh yeah, he was with he came over with your coach, you know, your $75 million man.
Seems like this is a great fit though for College Station and A&M.
Yeah.
Big story today though is the coach to player in game communications during Power Four college football games this season.
They're
have
messing
been
up,
occurring
aren't they? Yeah.
On unencrypted frequencies, according to ESPN.
We're hacking into the helmets?
Yeah, so this was a revelation that's raised questions about whether they could have been compromised, and Tech's athletic director Kirby Hocut said he raised the issue during a call with the Big 12 after learning that the Red Raiders helmet communications were unencrypted and accessible to anyone with a scanner and knowledge of how to locate the frequencies. So you could have had somebody like checking into their frequencies. Now you're getting the entire play and communication. I mean, this is like Connor Stallions on steroids, but
things Bill Belichick dreams of.
Yeah, it is.
Have some cybersecurity, man.
Now the Big 12 has already come out with a statement and said that it's not, at no point were any Big 12 games compromised as they've looked into this. All Big 12 communication programs now have the encryption update from the GSC, and schools may use their CoachCom or GSC for coach-to-player comms.
Yeah, I think there was a potential exploit that Tech noticed. They probably had a smart engineer on the scene, like the Ted Nichols Payne was there, and like, holy cow, this is unencrypted.
Right.
And then
right.
They were like, wait a minute, we're unencrypted? But probably nobody knew, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if a program had known, it would be tempting, and I would imagine there would have been exploitations. But
glad we nipped this in the bud when we did.
Yeah, although you never know. You know, this could be a cover-up at this point in the story as well. So I'll be waiting for more information. I hope the plot thickens, but I don't think it will.
I hope it does, too, because this is one that we could have some issues. Like, what do we need to do? Go back and just, like, replay these games? I mean, it wasn't in the purity of football here.
It's like that's how Vanderbilt beat Alabama.
Yeah, what the hell?
Tech's like, listen, we know our defense is bad, but it wasn't that bad.
Come on. There's no way we should have lost these last two games. You think TCU came back on their own? Absolutely not. All right? We should have won that game. Let's line it back up and let's replay again. We're trying to win a Big 12 championship here. But that's the big story in college football today. Otherwise, if you want to get into it, I mean, we've got some of these Ashton Jeanty numbers compared to some of these other stud running backs that have been taken in the draft. Jeanty's numbers are pretty damn outstanding.
Jeanty, the Boise State back, who is a local... local Frisco kid?
Star. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When those numbers compared to like Barry Sanders, is that how far back you have to go?
Well, they're comparing him to like the recent running backs that have come out in the draft and been really good, like Breece Hall, Joe Mixon, McCaffrey, Bijan, Saquon Barkley. And all of his numbers are blowing them out of the water. Like yards after contact, he's averaging over 5 yards. Barkley was at 3.5. Bijan was at 4.4. McCaffrey was at 2.89. Mixon, 3.75. Career missed forced tackles, 37%. Barkley was at 25%. Only one who's even comparable was Bijan, who had 39% career forced tackles, which is higher. Breakaway run percentage, half of his runs are breakaway runs. The only one who was slightly better was Barkley. But he is, I mean, when it comes to comparing with some of these other running backs that have come out and been awesome, his numbers show that he's well ahead of the curve here from these other guys.
Yeah, I mean, this dude is pretty phenomenal. He's playing against it's the quality of opponents is going to be the most difficult thing, I would say, when you're trying to project out. Because
he beat the crap out of, I mean, he ran all over Oregon, who's the number one team in the country right now, right? So, I mean.
No, that's true. And his numbers are so gaudy that it's like he's doing what you would expect a NFL caliber player to do against these defenses. So, like, I don't want to completely poo-poo it, but that would be like the one knock. I do wonder how he's going to measure from like a speed and explosiveness standpoint, but he is a joy to watch. His props are just as legendary as it gets when it comes to like his over-unders for a game rushing yards. It's like 190.5.
Dang. He's hitting them.
And the over is like a heavy favorite. You're like, my goodness, dude. So he's ridiculous, and I can't wait to see what this is all going to look like. Cowboys fans are going to just die for this guy.
They're already talking about him.
Yeah,
I'm sure they are.
I don't know.
You see what he did against Utah State, bro.
Do you think the Cowboys would take him?
I can't put it past the Cowboys taking a running back.
He didn't even have to play in the second half versus Portland State.
I mean, we've seen him take Zeke fourth overall.
You always tell us they like to sell jerseys over there.
They do, man. Yeah. I would not be surprised if maybe that's why they passed on one last year, because they knew they were going to get ready and take Jeanty this time around, because nobody else in their right mind would take a running back in the first round. They're like, oh, yeah, wherever we are in the first round, we're getting Jeanty next year. NFL news, sorry.
It's true, man.
Those Lions are
passing all these guys. We're getting Jeanty. How do you know?
I mean, truth be told, though, there was no way Boise State was going to beat Georgia Southern without him.
That's true. Well, Chuck, he's their team.
What's in the NFL news?
We got an irritated Tua, your players of the month, and is this the Eagles glue guy? That's next in the nation.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.